The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
Reading from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we are counted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 91 responsively. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation,
no evil will befall you, nor shall
for God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways.
Upon their hands,
you will tread upon the lion cub and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
I will deliver those who cling to me. I will
call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them.
With long life.
Reading from Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Between my second and third year in college, I moved to a small town, Huron, South Dakota, and I was to do an internship, get my feet wet in parish ministry, and to be part of a Christian education team. And my job involved doing a Bible study and a middle school youth group in a town about 45 miles away, an even smaller town, Cavour. Anybody ever heard of Cavour, South Dakota? It's not even on the map. So in Cavour, the church, which is pretty much all that there was in the town, I'm sure there was a bar and a gas station. But in Cavour, the church had, the parsonage was attached to the church, right next door, but attached. And it was a very old church, probably 100 years old, almost. And because of the winter weather, I often stayed Sunday night, stayed overnight. And my room was this little room at the top of a set of stairs, not the grand staircase in the front hall, but this little set of stairs that led from the kitchen up to the servants' quarters. I didn't mind. It was a nice little room with a private bath, and so I had this room. But I was thinking about that room, and every time I went up and down those stairs, I thought about the servants who had gone up and down those same stairs so many years before. And I thought about the great ones, as Jesus said in the scripture today, about the great ones and the little ones. Well, the great ones would have used that grand staircase with a curving wooden railing. It was such a beautiful staircase. And the little ones would use this tiny staircase in the back. Any of you watch Downton Abbey, you know that there are rules about who goes up and who goes down which staircase, and those rules should not be broken. Proper behavior dictates which set of stairs one might use. I wonder, which stairs would Jesus use? In reading the gospel from Mark, Jesus talks about servants and great ones, and then turns that concept upside down. The great ones are those who serve, and the greatest one is the one who is the servant to everyone else. The one who is the lowest is actually the highest. The servant who was the first one down that back staircase in the morning is the most important one in the house. When I read that line this morning, I thought, well, sure, because they make the coffee. It is the most important one in the house. The whole thing about being a servant is kind of difficult for us to get our 21st century heads around, and especially difficult in our Western world. Though we still may have maids and cooks and gardeners and care providers, We don't usually use the word servant when we refer to those people. I think our domestic workers and our care providers would be rather insulted if we called them servants or slaves. And becoming a servant isn't really a career goal for these days. But Jesus and his followers had a different concept. They would have understood servanthood and that whole social fabric that goes around that concept of servant. But even so, Jesus' followers took his words, heard his words as quite shocking. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Now, I think we need to be careful that we don't get self-righteous when we hear that passage, because we would say, well, I don't want to be first of all. I don't want to be the most important person. I don't strive for that or being the first. But I think we might not strive to be the first. We do think of ourselves first. We take care of ourselves first. We are people, anybody else that has needs gets the leftovers or gets our energy or our money or whatever we have. They get that second, but we take care of ourselves first. But Jesus invites us to just have the reverse of that. Jesus said, in my kingdom, in this upside down kingdom, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. The Bible uses this image of servant and master to portray the relationship between God and humanity. To be named a servant of the Lord was high praise. The word servant in Hebrew is the same as the word for slave. Same word, servant and slave. To be a servant or a slave of the Lord in biblical times was to enjoy this close relationship with God. It's not always easy to be a servant of the Lord, but it does carry that intimacy with God that comes in no other way. St. Paul, who called himself the slave of Christ, writes about this intimacy in his letter to the Philippians. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his sufferings and his death. That concept of being a servant of God is a thread that runs all through Scripture, especially talking about the scriptural or the biblical leaders, Moses, Joshua, David, Isaiah, all of them were referred to in the Bible as servant of God, servant of the Lord. And the whole nation of Israel as a nation is called a servant in order to indicate that intimacy that exists between God and the people of God. You are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not rejected you, God says to the nation of Israel. Even when everything seems lost for the nation, God makes a promise that redemption will come. Redemption will come through a servant. Behold, my servant whom I have uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. It's only through servanthood that God's divine intent for all people can be made real. We are called in our baptism to be servants of the Lord and servants of one another. Now, it's clear in this gospel reading that James and John did not get that servant idea at all. They come to ask Jesus to do them a favor. When someone comes up to you and says, would you do a favor for me? You kind of say in your head, at least I do, I wonder what they want. I wonder what they're going to ask for. And you don't say yes until you know what the favor is. You kind of step back a little bit and know that it's what the favor is. It's rather risky, I would think, to say yes until you know what the request entails. So James and John are asking him to do whatever we ask. Would you do whatever we ask? Well, Jesus lets them ask, but he doesn't always give it. He tells them that they don't know what they're asking. They want the top two positions in Jesus' kingdom. They're thinking corner office, fancy nameplate, big annual bonus. They're thinking power, fame, maybe even a few servants. A look at the world around them would have shown that these good things come to those who rule kingdoms. And the rest of the disciples got angry with them, got angry with them for asking. I think maybe because they wanted those top two positions themselves. For certain, the disciples were not thinking about servanthood. They weren't thinking about how they could serve, but rather were thinking about being served. And Jesus asks them, can you stay the course with me? Can you endure what I have to endure? They say, yes, we can. Yes, we can, but they don't know what they're saying. And Jesus tells them, yes, indeed, your destiny is bound to my destiny. You will discover what being great in the kingdom of God is all about. This is the great reversal. This is the upside down kingdom that Jesus is opening up. It's difficult for James and John to catch on to this idea. It was difficult for the other 10, and I'm going to say it's difficult for me, and I guess it might be difficult for you too. The way of the suffering servant is the way of liberation and life. The way of pain and passion is the way of redemption and healing. The lowest road is the highest road. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. The servant's back staircase is really the magnificent flight of stairs where the one who is Lord of all reigns in glory. That whole concept of servanthood is summed up by Jesus for his not quite understanding disciples and for us. We who are baptized are called to be servants. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be my servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We say we want to be like Jesus. We say we want to follow Jesus, and Jesus was servant of all, and that's our job. Amen.